Hello, here we are again with lesson number 3 in 1 Timothy. We're calling that God's Church Manual because a manual tells us how to do things, and this is written that we may know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. We left off here in verse number 12 in our last session where Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, when he said that, he was sitting in a cold, wet dungeon as he wrote this letter, and he says, I thank Christ Jesus for putting me in the ministry. He said he enabled me. Now, he enabled him, and that gave him the ability to be able to say that whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. At the beginning of Paul's instructions to Timothy, and he's talking about how the serious problems that Timothy was facing, he expressed his thanks to the Lord for enabling him to do what God wanted him to do. On the day that Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, it says, And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. As Christians, we all have something that God wants us to do, and he has enabled us to do it. Whether we are a father, a mother, whether you're a pastor, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, whatever, we all have a purpose in this world. And Paul said to the Christians there at this same church in Ephesus, he said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, again, I'll remind you that 1 Timothy is written to the pastor. Ephesians chapter 4, which is the same group, this is written to the people. And to the people, he said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. That word has been translated calling, and that's a good way to translate it. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called. We're here with a purpose, and God has enabled us to do whatever it is we need to do. So he says, I thank Christ, Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he has counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He said, I thank Christ. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11, he's talking about the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And so, what he's saying here is, I thank the Lord, he has enabled me. I thank the Lord because he counted me faithful. He put me in the ministry and he committed these things to my trust. Thank you, Lord, for trusting me with these things. And so he says to Timothy, oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. And we need to do the same thing, whether we be a pastor, whether we be a church member, whether it be father, mother, whatever position we have, what we do need to do is to keep that which is committed to our trust. He said he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, Paul's focus here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, he says, Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. That was his focus. He has given me this ministry. I am thankful for this ministry. And his focus was, I count my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy and finish the ministry which I have received of the Lord. Paul finished. 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he goes on to say what a tremendous privilege he had. He said before he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said, I was the chief of sinners, and he said, I still am the chief of sinners. Now, it's interesting, when he first started out in his ministry, he said, "I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of apostles." But as he got closer to the Lord, he said, "I am the chief of sinners." The closer Paul got to the Lord, the more he saw himself as he really was. He ended his life considering himself to be the chief of sinners. When Job got close to the Lord through the circumstances that God allowed the devil to put him in, Job said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and in ashes." The circumstances we go through will either make us bitter or they'll make us better, and the only difference in that word is the letter I. Well, in chapter 1 and verse number 16, Paul went on to say, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." He said, "I need to be a pattern for longsuffering." We think today, "I need to be a pattern. If I can just get a big crowd to come and get a big fancy building and a bunch of buses in the yard and a paved parking lot, I'd be a pattern for others." No, Paul said, "I need to be a pattern of long suffering." He said in verse 17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Notice he says the King. Now, he is sitting in the damp dungeon that Caesar has put him in. Caesar thought he was a great king. Well, he's been in the grave for the last 2,000 years. And Paul rejoices in the fact that his faith rests in the King eternal, the King who has honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So he turns again to Timothy, and he says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare." It's a war. It's not a recreation room. It's a warfare. And so we see in Ephesians, that same church back there, he's writing to the same church here in to 1 Timothy, only now he's writing to the pastor. In Ephesians 6, he's talking to the people as well as the pastor. And he says, put on the whole armor of God. He talked about the shield. He talked about the fiery darts of the devil. He talked about the helmet. He talked about taking the sword. He talked about the warfare. He talked about the weapons of our warfare. He talked about enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, "I have fought a good fight." We need to get on that armor. And if you read that portion of scripture back there, he said, make sure while you're doing it that you're praying always. Now, in 1 Timothy, he's talking specifically to the pastor. In Ephesians, he's talking to the pastor and the people. And we need to learn to take the whole armor of God, because we're in a war and we need to fight a good warfare. Now, he said in verse 19, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." A good conscience and faith. Now, the words faith and conscience are found together in three verses in 1 Timothy. First of all, he says in 1 Timothy 1, 5, and 6, he talks about a good conscience and faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. Then in verse 19 he said, "Holding faith with a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." And then in chapter 3 he said it, concerning faith and conscience, he said, "Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience." And so when it comes to conscience, what's he talking about? Well, he summed it up basically in Acts 24, verse number 16, and said, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." We need to make that our focus, as Paul did, that when we lay our heads on our pillow at night, we can look and say, "Well, I am void of offense toward God. I am void of offense toward men." If we're not, then we need to pray and get it right. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our goal needs to be void of offense toward God and toward men. That's what it is to have a good conscience. Well, he closes out this chapter focusing on two people. He said, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, Hymenaeus, he's mentioned twice in 1 and 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy 1 and 20, we have it here. And then in 2 Timothy 2:17, he said that Hymenaeus was like a canker. Strong's Concordance says that word means gangrene. Gangrene is pretty serious. Alexander, he's mentioned also twice in 1 and 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy here in verse number 20, and in 2 Timothy 4:14, Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. What are we saying here? What is God saying here? He's saying he's pointing out those people that are going to cause gangrene. Gangrene will kill you. You've got to point them out. You can't just say, well, I hope that nobody notices. They have an unbelievable influence, as does gangrene. Alexander, he needs to be pointed out. And we're so afraid today to mention people by name. Well, it's not pleasant. I don't think Paul enjoyed centering Peter out when he said, thou art to be blamed. And he centered them out, him out before all of them. And he centered out quite a few more, as we'll see as we go through this portion of Scripture. Well, notice at the top there, it says, Hymenaeus and Alexander, they made shipwreck. Shipwrecks happen for a purpose. Somehow, some way, a shipwreck takes place. Shipwrecks take place when ships are allowed to drift with no set course. Sometimes they have an incorrect course that causes them to be smashed on the rocks. Ships can be wrecked when they're overloaded, and sometimes I think, spiritually speaking, we get shipwrecked because we're overloaded. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Well, that concludes this chapter. We'll start again in lesson number 4 as we try to figure out those things that we ought to do, how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. Tune in for our next lesson.